What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron, go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, get every episode for free, right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. I want to welcome to the program Chad Brown. He is the county commissioner in Gaston County, but he's also the Republican candidate for North Carolina's Secretary of State. Welcome to the program, sir. How are you?
I'm great, Pete. Thank you guys for having me today and being able to talk to your audience.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. So, I got to ask, first off, what about the Secretary of State position that you were just like, you know what, that's the one I want to go for? It's so attractive. It has, it's like the most well-known Council of State office. No, really, why did you set your sights on that office?
You know, it's funny you asked that. It's about how I got into politics itself, and then I found something I loved, and it ended up being, because I was a professional baseball player, so it did with sports agencies. So I started looking into it. But, I'm running for the Office of Secretary of State because I truly care about North Carolina and I want to make a positive impact on a lot of people's lives. And I believe the power of good governance, and I don't think we have that right now, and we're trying to strive to get better. So when you think about things that happen in Secretary of State's office, there are a lot of things that this affects in everyone's daily lives, and that's how I got started into it, looking at it from the prospect of being sports agents.
So what do you mean a sports agent? How did that got you in contact?
All sports agents has to register with the Secretary of State's office the same way as if you did an LLC or if you were wanting to get a 501c3. Anything that has to happen basically has a registration. It has to go through the Secretary of State's office, and that's how I got started into what I wanted to do there.
So, I have an LLC as well, and I do the filings and all of that. It's not exactly the most user-friendly or intuitive interface that I have encountered, but I imagine I'm not the only one that has found it to be a little bit cumbersome for small businesses to navigate.
We've heard that many times, and that's one of the things we want to do. We want to make the responsibilities of making it common sense leadership as we get there, but we want to make sure that it's easy for the user and make you walk you through it hand in glove to try to get through these things. Because when you think about LLCs and small business, it's the backbone of what we do in America. So we have to make sure we really promote a high standard of transparency and accountability to get through those steps.
One of the things people believe that is not true about the Secretary of State office in North Carolina is that it oversees the elections. I think Elaine Marshall, the Democrat incumbent, I think every year she puts out some statement, reminding everybody not to attack her and her office for the elections because she doesn't have anything to do with it. So for folks who are not aware, what else does the Secretary of State do in North Carolina aside from being, you would be fourth in line for governor, if anything happened to three other people, which would be a catastrophe, I guess. But that's you're fourth in line.
We hope nothing ever happens like that. But some of the key responsibility is handling the business services of the North Carolina itself, and they assist the entrepreneurs in registering, of filing their business, providing resources for success. They regulate securities. They protect investors to promote a fair, secure financial market. And when it comes to trademarks and trade names, the Secretary of State is safeguarding your intellectual properties through things. So there's so many things that Secretary of State does that you think about, man, I didn't know that this would really get there. And that's how we started down this road and trying to get it. But it plays a vital role in ensuring fair elections. But as you talk about, when you talk about election integrity and things that go on, the only thing the Secretary of State's office is going to get to do is take out the voting records to send to the federal government on what happens at that one level of transparency for the President of the United States.
Gotcha. So one of the things also that the Secretary of State covers, right, are notary publics. I know a couple of years ago, probably maybe 10 years ago, there was a big controversy because the incumbent was allowing people who are not citizens to become notary publics. And I don't know, I'm trying to remember back. I'm not sure how that got settled. I think the issue did get settled. I think maybe the legislature stepped in. So are you Are you like into the weeds on the notary public side of issues?
We will be into the weeds. I guess the first thing I want to do is, Billy, I want to look at the LLCs, and I want to look at the notaries and have them audited to see if there is what kind of transparency we can find on if there is any illegals who hold those particular notaries. And if that's the case, we want to make sure we change that. But you're right. The legislature did step in, but some of the things are still going against the North Carolina Constitution. But one of the other things is our current Secretary of State is the one who allowed that to happen. So by putting her signature on there as well with those notaries who were, in fact, illegal. And then as you look into that, so I do want to try to audit those two offices and the LLCs to make sure that no foreign entities are owning or obtaining land who are foreign adversaries to make sure they don't own land out of consequence of what's happening.
So, you're specifically here talking like China, Russia, Iran.
That's correct.
North Korea, although I don't know. It was just weird that communist countries would even try to own land. You would think it would be kind of off-brand for them, you know?
We allow them not to own, you know, certain businesses. TikTok is going on right now. But, you know, I think the biggest travesty we have right now is anybody, they did make a moratorium where they couldn't own land 25 miles from a particular military base. I think that's kind of insane as myself to look. We shouldn't have those things anywhere close to what we're doing here. We think about the Chinese balloon that flew over, all the controversy that we had. Imagine owning land within 25 miles of one of our military installations.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and then you'd also, I mean, it says nothing of any kind of other critical infrastructure. I mean, what happened, remember, a couple of months ago, or I guess a year ago, where somebody shot up one of the electrical substations and took people's power out for almost 2 weeks, right? So it's not just a military base.
Well, it's, you know, when we look at things, we have to think about national security. We talk about protecting borders, not just nationally. We have to do it locally as well to make sure that we keep things on the right level, I guess you want to say. When we're thinking about things that happen inside of North Carolina, we got to protect our farmlands because we got to be self-sustaining. After a while, we're going to end up being, you think about our crops are the biggest resource that we have for trade here. So we need to make sure that we protect those as well, not just because of people coming in to our area. So the land will be a big part of that as well.
I got a message, and so maybe just put this down if you want to look at it. I don't know, this might be into the weeds on the notary stuff, but what is your position on NC notaries keeping a journal? Is there a way to clean up the statutes? Because it's unclear whether notaries shall maintain a journal of all notarial acts performed in the manner required for this type of notarial act. So it seems like
I'll take it into consideration.
Yeah.
I think that's always something good to learn. But if that's something that people think we do, because I think once you have that, you should have a log that goes in after you've signed something. So
yeah, it seems like there's confusion about whether or not they have to keep the journals or not anymore. It seems like they kind of sent them mixed messages. So I don't know. If you want to take a look at that. So I also heard you were on a couple of days ago with Brett Jensen, and you were talking about satellite offices. So explain this idea, and is like what would be the reason for, I remember I used to talk with Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest about this stuff, that if you were building government today, you would not build it the same as it was built 100 years ago, right? There'd be fewer buildings, for example, you'd be a lot more tech reliant. So I'm curious about the satellite offices. Is it sort of a decentralization push, or is it a cost, you know, add? And if so, to what benefit does the cost go?
Well, I think when you look at it as a whole, I mean, when government was first selected, you know, we had one central location. I want to make it easy for entrepreneurs and people who are doing business in the Secretary of State. So there's no reason for somebody from Franklin, North Carolina, or Manteo to have to go to Raleigh all the way to do business. Why can't we make it where if you have to have some type of in-person meeting, that we have an office, whether it be in Asheville, Charlotte, Raleigh or Wilmington, just say, just so to speak. I'm just using, maybe we can help out, because entrepreneurs, they have to come in and do business face to face. So I want to make sure we make that easy. We want to make it to where it's not hard to do business in North Carolina. But if we can eliminate wasteful spending that we see inside the office, and we can open up something, you know, just say in a Charlotte, you know, area, so you can cut down 2.5 hours out of a drive to help these people get their businesses and stuff started. I'd like to see where that comes about, to see what we can do. But like I said, once you get inside the office and see what all is there. So about a $20 million budget that you have to work with on trying to continue to work on sustaining the well-being of businesses in North Carolina.
You know, you could pitch it as like a green energy thing. Like people get like if you tell people that they won't be driving, you know, and then maybe you can get some bipartisan support on the idea. But you could also maybe do like a joint location kind of thing with DMV offices or something, if they've already got.
Right. Just looking at anything right now to try to help someone, you know, cut down on the drive time. You think about it. If you have to drive 6 hours from Murphy all the way to Raleigh just to meet for 10 or 15 minutes, and you can't do it by Skype, you can't do it by Zoom. Lord, we're still taking paper checks over there inside the office. So, you know, it's got to be some way to do business. And I want to make sure that we can institute something, you know, for a robust economy initiative, and we can make sure we can just remove some of the unnecessary burdens and red tape that create less efficient, streamlined processes. I mean, that's just where we're at. I mean, I think everybody's time is very important. And I don't want to take away someone's time who can be earning money and doing things better inside of North Carolina.
Where do people go to get more information about you and your campaign, Chad?
Thank you for asking. www.electchadbrown.com. You can go to Facebook at Chad Brown for Secretary of State.com. And I always end everything the same way. We have all the money we need to win this campaign. Unfortunately, it's in everybody's pockets out there, so please give.
All right, Chad Brown, thanks so much for your time, sir. Appreciate it. Good luck on the campaign trail.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too. Take care. All right, do the current world events have you wondering whether we are teetering on the edge of catastrophe? Are you concerned it's going to reach our shores? Okay, so what are you doing about your concerns? Let me help. Carolina Readiness Supply at carolinareadiness.com. Whether you're looking to expand your emergency preparedness supplies or you have no idea where to even begin, Carolina Readiness Supply can help you. Food, water purifiers, tools, first aid kits, instructional materials, camping and hiking supplies even, because being prepared is just smart. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies and educational materials that you'll need for any kind of emergency. In Waynesville and always at CarolinaReadiness.com, veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? So I don't know how much you know or don't know about the Secretary of State and the office, but I did a deep dive into the history here over on a website called Wikipedia, and I just wanted to give you a couple of details that I thought were like these were pretty, I don't know, interesting historical data points. Okay, so when do you think this office was created in North Carolina? 1665. The Lord Proprietors of the Province of Carolina created the office of the Colonial Secretary of Carolina. The very first one, you'll never guess this guy's name. Richard Cobthrop. I am not kidding. Richard, I'm not going to say it 10 times fast. Richard Cobthrop. He never even traveled to America. Most of the following 23 secretaries did, however. In 1675, the secretary became responsible to the King of England and was largely tasked with clerical duties related to land ownership. Following the signing of the U.S. Declaration of Independence, it's kind of caused some problems. North Carolina then created its own constitution in 1776, which provided for the North Carolina General Assembly to appoint a Secretary of State. The Assembly then appointed a fellow by the name of James Glasgow, reappointed him the following year, and he held that office for 20 years before resigning due to allegations that he had issued fraudulent land warrants. Now, this kind of corruption never happens, Pete. There's no such thing as any kind of government fraud. William Hill then takes over, and he serves as secretary from 1811 all the way through 1857, a 46-year tenure. So I'm sure there was no corruption going on there. But here's the thing. Even if the guy was corrupt in any way, nobody cared. You know why? Because when the State House caught fire in 1831, he had been on the job for like 20 years at that point, and he saved a whole bunch of the office's records. Like, you can't fire the guy now. Like, right? So 46 years. But Elaine Marshall, the current incumbent, she's been there 24 years. She was the first female elected statewide. And she was, Faulkner appointed to vacancy created by Rufus Edmonston. Right. Who was the guy that hosted the Christmas party that Beth Wood, the auditor, got drunk at and then plowed into that car last year. Remember that? And then had to resign. Yeah. See, it's all part of the same story. All right, well, just as I predicted, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in North Carolina. The wait is over. Now you can legally bet on all of your favorite sports anytime, anywhere in the state with DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of NASCAR. DraftKings has tons of the best features like parlays for multiple games, player props that focus on individual players and their performance within a specific game, social betting groups where you can share your bets with your friends in real time, and just in time for college basketball conference tournaments now underway. And as always, fast and easy payouts, and I have a special promo for you. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use the code word Pete, and bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, promo code Pete. The crown is yours, but this is a limited time offer. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Oh, and deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms are at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC. And NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and is used under license. Almost forgot. I was going to get to this story the other day, and then I just didn't because I started talking about other stuff. And then, you know me, I just kind of ramble on. And so I never got to it. But what a difference 72 hours can make in the telling of a story. Right? Because not even a week ago, there was all of this outrage, not over the word bloodbath, but over the bloodbath at the RNC. Do you remember this? Right. Like, Politico did this big story about all these people at the Republican National Committee that were getting fired as part of the changing of the guard. Michael Whatley, the North Carolina Republican Party chairman, taking over as the RNC chair. Lara Trump, Donald Trump's daughter-in-law, taking over as the co-chair or vice chair or something. And then they were starting to just fire a bunch of people, and they were calling it a bloodbath. Oh, sorry. But, so obviously Politico calling for violence against all fired Republican National Committee employees or something. So immediately following her election as co-chair of the RNC, Lara Trump promised that she and the new chair, Michael Whatley, were not going to waste any time getting the organization into shape. And that was evident Monday at RNC headquarters, where dozens of officials are being pushed out, according to Politico. Quote, all told, the expectation is that more than 60 RNC staffers who work across the communications, and the data departments are going to be let go. Those being asked to resign include five members of the senior staff, though the names were not made public. Additionally, some vendor contracts are expected to be cut as well. There is a fellow by the name of Sean Cairncross, the RNC's new chief operating officer, said that the new committee leadership was in the process of evaluating the organization and staff to ensure the building is aligned with its vision. Quote, during this process, certain staff are being asked to resign and reapply for a position on the team. Do you do that, by the way? Would you do that? I don't know if I would do that. I don't know if, like, if I'm already doing the gig, I don't know if I resign and then reapply for the gig. Because if you don't think I'm good enough to keep the gig right now, why would I bother going back through a hiring process with you? You know? Kind of seems like you already have your mind made up that I'm not the right person for that gig, right? They say the overall aim is to cut, quote, bureaucracy at the RNC, which is kind of comical that the RNC would have too much bureaucracy. Of all the parties. The vision of the new committee leadership, Politico reported, is both a streamlining of the RNC structure and a merger of the operations of the Trump campaign, so this way they can get all that money into his legal defense. And the R, I'm just kidding, it didn't say that last part. But I mean, that's totally what's happening here, right? Come on. The guy's got massive legal bills. Do you think they're not firing people to save money? Yeah. I could be wrong on that. I'm just skeptical. That's all. I'm skeptical. The DNC and the Biden campaign already operate in this similar way, which is, and I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, which was one of the downsides of a primary that lasts too long, is that you don't get to combine your operations, your party operations and your campaign operations together, because the party can't take or doesn't want to take sides in a primary fight, you know? So they're like, you know, we're staying out of it. And so the longer the primary goes on, the longer it takes the party apparatus, you know, to swing into action for the nominee. So now that Trump is the nominee, now the party can do that. And Biden has enjoyed that that efficiency for several months now. Lara Trump said we have, for the first time ever, an election integrity division. She says we're going to have a nationwide network of volunteers, whether it's poll watchers, trained poll workers. These are people who can physically go in, count ballots that are coming in, know how many are coming in, how many are going out, volunteer and paid attorneys as well. The Washington Post also reporting that Trump advisor Chris LaCivita, who, by the way, was Pat McCrory's campaign manager, he is also the new chief of staff at the RNC, and that he had, quote, complained about the staff of the RNC for several months and long planned to make changes, and he had studied the organization's payroll and employees for several weeks. Okay, so that happened. That's an acceptable use of the term bloodbath, just in case you needed to know what the standard was. So if Republicans are getting fired, bloodbath. Auto workers getting fired and killing off an entire manufacturing sector, bloodbath means physical violence. Call for physical violence. That's the standard, apparently, just so we're all clear. Story here from the Washington Examiner, although they're covering a report from NBC News. President Joe Biden is anxious and angry, which, by the way, are two symptoms of dementia, but I digress. Anyway, he's anxious and he's angry about his reelection campaign as former President Donald Trump shows strength in swing states and nationally. Biden has been, quote, second-guessing travel and messaging for his bid for four more years amid other frustrations. Biden was reportedly, quote, seething after he was told his handling of the war in Gaza had caused poll numbers in Georgia and Michigan to drop, with the report alleging that he shouted and he swore. He has also felt cocooned. The president wants to speak more with voters and has been frustrated by restraints placed on him. So this is the story, right, that is out there. They're putting out there that, oh, see, Joe is being restrained. Just let Joe be Joe, right? This is the same kind of story they've told for the last 3 years. Like, it's the people around Joe Biden that are keeping Joe Biden from being the awesomest Joe Biden that he can be, you know? And if you just let him do his thing, then, you know, he will, he'll totally be fine and he won't be falling upstairs anymore. By the way, you've seen he's wearing the sneakers now? You got seen those things? Inside Edition. They did a big story on the sneakers. I mean, yes, it's kind of funny, but also it's important because there are a lot of people that watch Inside Edition that do not follow politics. And when this kind of stuff crosses over, right, into mockery, that is lethal. See, this is, the left has done this to the right for decades, right? Through Saturday Night Live skits and spoofs and parodies and jokes and such. I mean, the whole Sarah Palin saying, I can see your house, I can see Russia from my house, right? She never said that, right? That was Tina Fey on Saturday Night Live. But people think that Sarah Palin actually said that. Unfortunately for the left and beneficially for America, the left is losing its vice grips on the culture and the platforms of dissemination, right? It used to be that you could make these jokes and as long as you suppress the other jokes, nobody knows. And you become sort of like, oh, you know, we're the better party because we're not mockable. And then, of course, you go to social media, people on Facebook, and you see all of the mockery that is occurring of the left, and they can't contain that anymore. And by the way, that is what made Limbaugh so popular, was that people thought they were alone. And then Limbaugh came along and said stuff that many Americans, if not more than half, but definitely half of the country was like, yo, yeah, I agree with that. He speaks for me, right? That's where all of that, like, that was the secret sauce. I mean, yes, he was entertaining and informative as well. Which, by the way, I only promise to be one of those two. Never, never both. It's only, you get one or the other. I don't know if we're in the same place any longer where they can control this stuff. I know they try. I mean, we just saw the report today. I was looking at, Google interfered at least 41 times in the elections over the last, like, decade by throttling certain search results, which, by the way, like, I was saying this 10 years ago, literally 10 years ago, probably longer. If you control the search results that come back when people Google a candidate, if you can control those results and the order in which they pop, so make them positive for a particular candidate, negative for a particular candidate, and make them pop at the top of the list, like 90% of people never click a link beyond the third link. They just don't. Most people will hit the first link, then they may hit the second, and if all they see are the search results that show positive things about candidate X, then that's enough for them. And the worst part is, they think they've researched. They believe that they know the candidates because they did some research into the candidates. And they will tell the pollsters and the researchers that very thing, even though all they did was type in a Google search, look at the top headlines, and maybe click one link. Anyway, I'm going to get into this too, because I'm going to get to Jeff Jackson. I'm going to get to Jeff Jackson in a minute because he's apologizing over the TikTok stuff. And this is indicative of the problem that the Democrats have. And they are so mockable on this. And I just, you know, I got to believe that, like, that's part of the reason why Jeff Jackson deleted his tweet or his TikTok video about TikTok and his vote on the TikTok. What's the old thing? They're guilty of that which they accuse you, right? In fact, Fannie Willis, Fulton County DA, right? Rich Lowry had a write-up on her today. We've seen her like before. We should know Fannie Willis by now. Right? She is the standard archetype. She is guilty of that which she accuses others. She is engaging in the very thing that she is attacking Trump for doing, right? Ripping down norms and standards in order to fight the guy who's destroying norms and standards. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.